G'day, this is Jeff Floyd, pastor of C3 Church Bathurst, and this is our podcast. Thank you for joining us today. C3 Bathurst brings life to people by helping them to be revived, restored, and released through getting to know Jesus and his people. We hope that this message will bring you life today. Fabulous. Well, good morning, everybody. So good to see you, and so good online. Thanks for jumping in as well. Let's pray. Jesus, as we face February, as we launch into a new series on courage, fill us with courage, Lord Jesus. Fill us with possibility. Fill us with opportunity. But I'm praying that you fill our souls with yes, our souls with I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Fill our spirit with just dreams and visions, but capacity. Jesus, come and stir us. Fill us with your courage in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, hey, I'm preaching on courage. For the whole month, I just think courage at the start of the year is so crucial. And we're going to explore four greats in the scripture. We're going to start with Paul, the Apostle Paul in the New Testament today, and look at some of the heroes of our faith, all flawed, all very human, but heroes, and people that we read again and again and we draw inspiration from. And Paul is one of those and today, it's about the courage to change, to stand tall. Our generation needs people of conviction and courage. We don't need people who just kind of fade out and disappear. And no, we need to be standing forward, standing strong in our generation. With God's will behind us and propelling us forward, let's make a difference in our world, hey? But the courage to change, my goodness. I mean, courage is hard. Who finds change hard? Yeah, Rosemary finds change hard. Everybody else loves change. All right, let's get up and move to some other seat right now. Now, I reckon change is one of those really difficult things to do, particularly the older we get, the more comfortable we get. You know, sometimes change is difficult. Sometimes we embrace it. Sometimes it's challenging. But Paul is one man who faced multiple changes. And there are some secrets to change right here. But let me explore the word courage. I found a great definition. The ability to do something that frightens oneself. What a great definition of courage. The ability to do something that frightens oneself. It's like people who bungee jump. People who jump out of airplanes. You know, people who do all kinds of crazy things. You know, it takes courage to do something. Maybe it's start a new job. Maybe it's turn up to school first day and go, oh, these people are so big. You know, it's that maybe it's to move town. Maybe it's to get married. Maybe it's to, you know, whatever step you're looking, whatever you're facing at, sometimes those changes are frightening. But courage gives us the ability to do something that frightens us in a natural sense. And we're going to see how Paul did that. So here's four really simple things that I see in Paul's life that gives him that ability to face change and to overcome change. Let's go. Number one, change comes through a new vision. Getting a new vision right is so key. And let me tell you a bit about Paul's story as I share this one. You might know that Paul was a religious man before he became a Christian. That sounds funny, doesn't it? But it's true. He called himself, you know, a Pharisee of Pharisees. He was a very, very high up Jew. He had all of the right credentials. He'd been to the right schools. He'd had the right training. He'd had the right mentorship. He was a young man who was destined for the top. I mean, he was one of those bright, up-and-coming legal scholars who knew the Bible, the Old Testament, backwards. Everything. But he didn't know God. It sounds odd, doesn't it? But sometimes it is possible. It is possible. But Paul needed a new vision. His name back then was Saul. And this is what happened. And there's three accounts of his conversion in the book of Acts. Acts 9, Acts something else, and Acts 26. I think it's about 22. But Acts 26 is the version I'm going to read from here. And he's actually in the middle of a court case telling the people what happened to him. This is how it goes. He says, "About noon, your majesty, as I was on the road, a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shone down on me and my companions, and we all fell down. And I heard a voice saying to me in Aramaic, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is useless for you to fight against my will.'" And what Paul was doing at that time was he's going from town to town, dragging the Christians into jail and even approving of their death, like Stephen. And so here was this religious man so wrapped up in his religion that these upstart Christians, after Jesus had died, there's this explosion of people called Christians who weren't quite following the laws of Judaism. They were doing all kinds of crazy things and praying directly to God and, you know, not quite obeying the Sabbath properly and doing strange things. And this incensed Saul. So he went from house to house and dragged them out. It still goes on today, by the way. Christians, other countries, people being dragged out from houses and churches and put in jail. It still happens. But Saul, this was what he was doing. And then he sees this light. He says, "Get up," Jesus says. Sorry, verse 15. "Who are you, Lord?" I asked. And the Lord replied, "I am Jesus." Strange verse, right? Who are you, Jesus? "I'm Jesus. I am Jesus, the one you're persecuting." "Oh. I'm the one who you're having a go at." "Oh." And do you know what? He was blinded for 3 days. He says, Jesus says, "Now get to your feet, for I have appeared to you to appoint you as my servant and witness. You are to tell the world what you have seen and what I will show you in the future. And I will rescue you from both your own people and Gentiles. Yes, I'm sending you to the Gentiles." Now get this. For the Jews, the strict Jews, to actually think that God could love the other nations was crazy. But God is saying, "Saul, I'm going to make you a mouthpiece. I'm going to take you and send you to all the people that you'd never think could come to know me." And that was his mission. And you read through the New Testament, the book of Philippians, the book of Colossians. They're all written to the churches that Paul started. And he writes them back. It's an incredible story. But here's the thing. How does one change from going this way, a religious zealot, to meeting Jesus and going this way in a moment? He sees a brand new vision. God opens his eyes to the things that are possible. He was like this, and now he's like this. And that's so true of our life. Sometimes when we look at this, and our world is like this, and the problems are like this. But God says, lift up your eyes. What if I do this? And we get caught up in a brand new vision of life, a new direction, a new idea. And in a moment, we can chase that and pursue that. Vision drives decision, okay? Get caught up in a vision where even if it's a new job or a new business idea, or just getting out of bed requires change sometimes, doesn't it? Oh, the alarm just went off. Every morning I just lie here and hit snooze 4 times. And then I've got to do 4 times the agony. Because, you know, it could just be that simple, but you get a new vision. Imagine me getting out of bed the first time. Imagine I could save 30 minutes and be alive. I'm being a little bit silly, but I'm not talking about leaving the country or changing your job. It just could be the littlest things in your life that you want to change. But having a vision and letting God show you what it could be like drives your decision and helps you to do that. So replace what you see with a grand vision. And I tell you, there is no greater, grander vision than Jesus himself. That's what Paul saw. He saw the mission, sure, but he saw Jesus. He really saw Jesus for the first time. He saw who he was. He was caught up in his beauty and his power and his majesty and his heart. I'm going to spend the rest of my life chasing this. And it didn't matter what sort of cost he paid down the track. It didn't matter how many shipwrecks he was in or how many people stoned him or how many arguments. He just had this vision of Jesus and the path that he had for him. And that was enough. To get caught up in the vision of Jesus and let the vision of Jesus drive your ability to change your life, to take little steps, just little steps and maybe big steps, and let him do that. Okay, so the first thing is get caught up in a big vision that can drive your change day to day. Secondly, it's a little strange, but it's here in the Bible. It's change through your weakness and his strength. Now, we live in a world where we're supposed to use our energy to change. Use our motivation. Come on, you can do it. You know, personal trainers. And they're good. And they help you get motivated. Or apps. You know, my brother sends me a little thing. This is how far I cycled this morning. I see a little map and all that. That's great. That's demotivating for me. But, you know, one part of me wants to go, yeah, I could do that. Strive and hard. But what happens when the day your motivation runs out? What happens on that day when you go, I got nothing this morning? Ever been there? You have all the best intentions and you get out of bed and you find your cycle. What do you call those things? Bicycle. Bike. Yeah. Bicycle. Two wheels. And you just go, it's a frost this morning, so I give up. Weakness. Look at this with me. It's phenomenal. Paul was facing, we don't know what it was, actually. It doesn't actually tell us. But he describes it as a thorn in his flesh. It's like something was irritating him. People have speculated for years what this is. Who knows? Could have been a physical weakness. Could have been, you know, a disease or an ailment of some sort. Could have been a person. You know, could have been just someone who got in his face annoyed. He would have been, you know, trolled big time back then. It could have just been something that was going on. And he said three times, I asked God, take this away. I can't deal with this. Do you know what God says? He says, no. He says, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is perfected in weakness. Wow. My power is made perfect in weakness. That's in, I skipped the Bible, 2 Corinthians 12. It's the power of, I'll read the scripture. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. He says, for the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weakness, insults, hardships, persecutions, calamities, for when I am weak, then I am strong. How does that work? How does that work in our age of motivation and you can do it and determination and you go, I can't? What was the actual mechanism here? Well, here it is, because it's a mystery. It's going like this, Jesus, I can't do that. I don't have the strength for that. I'm not wired that way. But you do. If you've called me to do something, clearly you can give me your power inside of me to do that thing. And so an admission of weakness is strength. We live in a world where admission of weakness is bad. It's not. So many things that we can't do, right? I got a list. Oh, I wish I was a better plumber. Every time I go near a tap or a washer or something, I really do get, it happened yesterday. Ro was fixing the washing machine. I said, do you want a hand, dear? She said, I'll call you when I need you. Read in the paper. Hey, Jeff, can you come in? She had the dishwasher out. I've had so many bad experiences with plumbing. I get the heebie-jeebies, you know. It's like, it's not going to work. I have this negative thing. It's not going to work. It's just, I'm going to screw it up. Sorry. We did screw it up. So we try to attach the new hose and we tried it and it spurts out and all that stuff. But the point is, I just have a thing about plumbing. I'm hopeless at it. But instead of going, hey, Jesus, can I have your strength to fix this washing machine? I try to battle to go, I'm a man. Surely I can use a spanner. Surely I can sort this thing out. And so I grind in and then get frustrated, right? Would have been far better in reflection. Sorry about yesterday's tantrum, bro. To just go, I can't. Let's just stop and pray over the washing machine. Jesus, just give me an insight into why this thing isn't working. That's probably what you did because you got it working. What's your thing? What's your weakness? What's the thing that when you approach near, you go, this never works for me. But you grind in anyway and it gets worse, right? Paul says, when I'm weak, I'm strong. Now I use a silly example, but it could be all kinds of things. It could be in your profession. It could be in your relationships. It could be in the things that really matter. When you're weak, you're strong. You just got to stop for a moment and admit it. Jesus, I'm out of answers here. But can you come in to my world and help me in this? Jesus goes, sure, because my power is perfected in weakness. This is good news, I'm telling you. This could really change some things in your world, give you the strength to do that. Okay, number three. So number one, do you remember? Vision. Get caught up by a vision of Jesus. Number two, in your weakness, admit that you can't invite him in to change. This takes courage, right? Number three, I like this. Shoot the sacred cows of your past. There are things in your past that just need to stay dead. Shoot them. Get rid of them. This is what Paul did. Now, I told you before that Paul was an incredible scholar, an intellect, an amazingly powerful leader. But when he looked back at those times, he called it out for what it really was. He didn't live his life in regret. You know, as a Christian, often he was in jail. Often he was insulted and persecuted. He didn't look back and go, Egypt. You know, I wish I was back leading the Pharisees. I wish I was back in places of respect and honor. I wish as I walked through the streets, everybody would part and bow down. You know, he didn't allow himself to kind of muse on the success of the past because he called out the past for what it really was and he shot it. Here's the scripture. In Philippians 3, he just spends time talking about his past. I was a Jew of Jews, a Pharisee of Pharisees, and all his qualifications he stacks up. But then he says this, indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish. See that? It's actually all that is actually rubbish. I'm going to call it out. I'm going to name it. That didn't work. That was the wrong path. That was something I should never have done. And I'm leaving it. It's done. I'm not going to spend my life trying to pick that up again. Ooh. If only I married that person. Oh, that job would have been really good. Remember that offer of, you know, we can spend our life living in the past. Let's deal with the past. Shoot the sacred cow and move on and call it for what it is. It's tough, courageous. That's what Paul did. The good old days are not always good. We just think they are sometimes. You've got to face what was wrong in the past and get rid of them. And the last one. This is about those small changes that we need to make. See, Paul traveled a lot. A lot. Not airplanes, not cars, walking, constantly traveling different places, days of walking, journeys, you know, ships, and just old school travel, difficult travel. But he was driven by a vision of Jesus and his mission to take Jesus to all these other people. And so he'd be constantly going, I really want to get to here. Like, I want to get to Rome, or I want to get to Spain, or I want to get to somewhere. Now, look at this scripture in Acts 16. And they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. That's not Asia as we know it, sort of Asia, kind of Greece area. And when they had come to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. How's that for direction? I really want to go here. No, don't go there. You should go here. He was following the leading of the Holy Spirit inside. He wanted to change course. Don't go there. Don't go there. In verse 8, it says, so passing by Mysia. He goes, okay, change my plans. I'll pass by Mysia. They went down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there, urging him and coming him, come over to Macedonia and help us. Imagine that. You've been trying, you've been pushing on these doors, that's not opening, that's not opening. You bypass it, and then you get a dream and a vision. And in that vision, he's someone from another country saying, hey, come over here, come over here, come over here. Isn't that amazing? He's able to change the direction of his travel according to what the Spirit's doing. In verse 10, when Paul had seen the vision, Immediately, he sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called them to preach the gospel to them. What happened after that was amazing. They meet this Lydia, the Philippian girl, gets saved, their family gets saved, they get thrown into jail. They escape from jail. You know, it was just a crazy story, but the Philippian church was born because Paul was obedient to that direction. What does it look like for you? What doors are you trying to push on? They just stay closed. But what doors are the Holy Spirit opening? What's he doing? What's he stirring? Are you ready to change? That word pivot has been way overused in Corona times. But it's kind of that idea. Are you willing to pivot to the new direction that God has got for you? You're listening to the Holy Spirit. You're open to his leading. These things will give you courage, the ability to change direction. Let's get the musos up on stage. I want to just spend a few moments before we finish this praying about the things that are on your heart this morning, things that you're finding, what's grinding out, what kinds of things are really just pushing in, what needs to change. What is it in your world needs to change? So I just invite you to stand with me. We're just going to have a time of prayer. And I find just standing positions you in a good space to pray and to hear from God. And it's just about positioning our body. Think right now. Think through your world. What is it that needs to change? And I want to start with one thing. One thing that I think all of us would love is a closer walk with Jesus. That's my prayer this morning as I woke up. It's Jesus, I'd really like to spend the day with you. I'm rushing around doing stuff. Busy. I miss Jesus in the middle of a busy life. Somehow I manage to shut him out sometimes. Sometimes when I come to the Lord in prayer in the mornings, Lord, the one thing I really want today is you. I just wish that I wasn't such a goose and that I could just every moment of every day be with you. If you're guiding me, speaking to me, hearing your love for me. I tell you, my life would be so different if I did that. The journey, eh? That's a change. But I stopped what I was doing. Jesus, only thing I want today is for you to be closer to me. Come make yourself more real. Come give me the power that I need to change. Come and fill my heart with you. I can be more secure in your love, more free. Right now, I'm going to start with that change. If that's the change that you need to make, just would you raise your hand in the air? I want to pray specifically for you because I'm in that. Yeah, you're a Christian. It's all good. But you just, so am I, I think. I know that. But I just need more of Jesus. If you just need more of Jesus right now, raise your hand. Lord, every hand that's raised, touch them with your gentle presence. Right now, touch them. Come alongside them. Come inside of them. Touch them. Every single person who needs more of you. Lord, let them experience right now your soft touch, your fatherly affirmation, your gentle spirit. Whisper to them. Let them taste and see that the Lord is good. Jesus, come. And in that space, take hold of Him. And just turn to the things that you're struggling with to change. It could be even just personal habits or addictions. It could be something at work, something in your family, something in your money life, just something that's grinding up again and you've tried so hard to push through. But accept the weakness that you have. It's okay. Just before Jesus, I can't do this anymore. But I know that you can. I know that power is perfected in weakness. So I admit my problem and I admit that I can't, but you can. So come in and fill me. Give me ideas. Give me supernatural strength. Let me be caught up in a vision that's bigger than me. Let that vision fuel my energy and the decisions I have to make. Holy Spirit, come. You might even just want to catch the Spirit's leading right now. He might even be just showing you, just like He showed Paul, a little door somewhere, a little picture of something, a little direction. You just pivot a little bit. Go that way, not that way. He will do it. It might even be tonight. You just wake up in the morning. Oh, yes, I've got it. That's it. Oh, this is so exciting. This is just not religion. This is following Jesus. It's allowing Him into our world and blessing Him, living full and free lives. And if you don't know Jesus right now, can I invite you to raise your hand? Because I want to pray for you. This is a moment where you can be transformed for eternity. Is there anyone in the room who just, you need to know Jesus? Well, you need to come back to Him and receive Him and re-know His love. Is that you this morning? You need your heart fixed. You need your soul reborn. Anyone? I'd love to pray with you if that is. Holy Spirit. Before we finish, we're just going to just play this last little bit of Waymaker. I want you to see, He is the Waymaker. He is the Waymaker. He'll do it. And I want you just to, as we sing this, just see His ability to make new ways, new paths. Let's just sing the end of this song. Hey, thanks for joining us today. We'd love to get to know you better. Come and visit us at one of our Sunday services in Bathurst, rear of 217 Howard Street. Have a week filled with life.